In Luke's account of the Acts of the Apostles that we've just dug into, we've seen the miracle of speaking in tongues. And as a language teacher, I've always believed that in those 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, when the disciples were hiding out, they could have learned sentences of Jesus' good news to relate to the manifold Mediterranean people there in Jerusalem for the harvest festival. Undoubtedly, too, there were the miraculous trances of glossolalia granted to those fervently filled with these intense religious experiences. Friends of mine have spoken of a church service they were attending once where the ushers brought forth sheets to wrap those in such religious ecstasy tightly, lest they harm themselves or others. But what does St. Paul tell us of the other gifts the Holy Spirit grants in 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 13? No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So let's look at these gifts. Gift number one. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. Gift number two, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Gift number three, to another faith by the same Spirit. Gift four, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Number five. And number six, to another, prophecy. To another, number seven, discernments of spirits. Now, that was really difficult, this discernment of spirits for me. So, I looked in my Bible, and here I wanted to look at another translation that really spoke to me. And in my study Bible, it said, for gift number seven, he gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God speaking or another spirit that is speaking. And that made sense to me. Gift number eight, to another various kinds of tongues. Gift number nine, to another the interpretation of tongues, whether they are earthly languages or glossolalia. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink in one Spirit. The word of God for the people. When your church council members asked me to preach on May 27th and 28th, I had no problem with it. Then I looked at the calendar And so it was before Memorial Day. I stood up and took note. When I surveyed the lectionary for today, and when I realized it was Pentecost, I shuddered. Jay said to himself, Craig would give me this feast day to preach on? Good heavens, what can I say to honor this holiest of days? But yes, I got my books. I did my reading. I did my prayers. I rehearsed countless times the recitations of the biblical passages. When you're somewhat dyslexic like me, you must almost work as hard as King George VI in the King's Speech to get it right. A sermon was coming along quite nicely. Then this past week happened. Bev and I, working out in the yard, were mystified by all the sirens and emergency traffic that happened over such a long period of time. We sent up prayers for safety like we always do when we see or hear first responders hurrying toward danger. Then we learned the tragic news. Those sermon notes coursing back and forth in my brain became more than useless. They were just a few biblical thoughts of church history and geography, as well as well-meaning ideas of how we can get the Spirit. Now, the two main questions that came storming into my head were, how on earth can such horrible things happen to such fine people? And the second question, is God even there? There is a Jewish rabbi, Harold S. Kushner, who wrote a classical examination of this problem in 1981. The title of this book is When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He tries to explain in a number of ways why even the righteous suffer. And it's not easy, it's not for the easy and horrific answers some people give, horrific answers, as what they might think might be comforting in such situations. Some people say, it was his time. God needed another angel. God won't give us more than we can bear. They must have been punished for an evil deed. Everything happens for a reason. Well, perhaps that last sentence is true, but not in the way we are thinking. Everything happens for a reason because of the unchanging laws of nature herself, which are neutral and impersonal. Things fall from the sky because of gravity. Fire happens when an ignition point is reached. But Kushner and I agree that God exists. And he created the universe. But nature is morally blind. However, we as human beings within this natural world see these occurrences. And we all suffer because of them. And yet we can love God because He, God, can do some important things with these gifts of the Holy Spirit, which He has blessed us with. We can be the hands and feet of Christ. And I quote, "For the prayers of others can make us and our friends, feeling this horrific loss, aware that we are not facing our problems alone. And God can give us the strength of character that we need to handle our misfortunes if we're willing to accept it. These gifts that we pass on, each one of us in our own way, will enable us as sufferers to feel anger at our loss and still love God." As I texted to a couple of my young friends, former students, when they suffered with a family a too early death of their classmate's father, who died of cancer. And they were suffering with his family. And this was my text. "My only solution is that those situations give us chances. Give us chances to show our families and our friends and our acquaintances how much and how deeply we love them. There is no turning back the sadness. But those tears do cleanse all our souls and lead us to greater devotion to those for whom we care." And the people said, "Amen." Is it time for offering? Or the hymn of the day, "Beautiful Savior." I remember when I was a soprano, yeah, that was a long time ago, probably 65 years ago, I got to sing a discant to "Beautiful Savior." And so shall we sing "Beautiful Savior"? I remember when I was with my students in Rome, not in Rome, in the city of Cologne. Is this the right hymnal? Okay. I was in Cologne, Germany, and the dean of the cathedral there in Cologne was giving my group and my exchange family — I was an exchange student in high school — and was giving my family a worship service. He even brought the organist into the chapel of the Holy Sacrament, and we had this beautiful worship service, and I got to sing "Beautiful Savior." My mother was from the area of Germany called Schlesien, which is now part of Poland, and this melody comes from Schlesien, from Silesia, and I was able to sing it in German. And I remember Allison sitting in our daughter Allison, and she was saying, "Speed it up, Dad, speed it up." But she didn't say it, she just, but it was all wonderful. And Would you like to stand? I just love this piece. And we want to look at this beautiful Savior, the gifts that he has given us through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost.